Hallelujah.
Amen.
You guys filled?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How'd you guys enjoy the prophesying? It was good? Yeah, I was in the cafeteria and I was kind of creeping on one of the groups over there. I was kind of like enjoying the crumbs coming off their table. Loved it. I thought it was great. That all God's people would be prophets. I'm very, very happy to be speaking this message because I get to speak in the body. A lot of the work has already been done because the material is in you. You've been eating it. Okay? So let's get right into this message. So this is page 27. We all know this is discerning our spirit from our soul. Let's read. Actually, how about we do this? Everybody that was assigned Roman numeral 1, read it out loud. Go. Amen. Okay. Everybody know 1 Thessalonians 5:23? Who can recite it? Ready? Go.
And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete
at
the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
How many parts do we have? We have
three.
Okay, good. And it is the spirit, the soul, and the body. I think a lot of us are already familiar with it. Sorry, my circles are terrible. But this is significant, actually. This first outer circle, not so hard to draw. When you explain this to people, when you help people, not very difficult to tell them that the body and the soul has an L in it. The body and the soul are two different things. I mean, every university I've ever shown up to, biology and psychology are two different classes, correct?
Yes.
They're usually two different majors, two different departments. They're not usually even in the same building, okay? They're very different. You actually don't really need to be a believer really to understand this line. This one is a little bit more difficult to grasp. And actually, when we help people, it's important to help them to draw this line. A lot of believers actually are not clear about this line. Some actually oppose this line. But actually, most people just don't know about it. It never gets old to me when someone testifies, "I didn't know I had a human spirit." That's exciting to me. That makes me appreciate my spirit. Okay? And we realize that all of God's economy, everything of God's purpose is aimed here. Without this, you have no aim. You have no target. You have no place to shoot at. Everything in the New Testament that you need to do is done in spirit. We serve in our spirit. We pray at every time in spirit.
Amen.
We have fellowship of spirit.
Amen.
Everything is done in the spirit. Without the spirit, you're missing things. You're missing something very important, and it's actually lacking focus. One of the greatest helps you can render to somebody is to help them to their spirit.
Right.
You can meet them and you can have the eye-to-eye contact. You can nail the handshake. But if you do not exercise your spirit and speak to their spirit and help them to their spirit, you missed, actually. We need to help them. Because in the Old Testament, one of the greatest helps you could help someone with was to bring them to God, to God's presence. And God's presence was located. There was a specific location in the Old Testament. Does anybody know where that was? It was in the Holy of Holies. It was in a tent. And not only in the tent, there was a specific room in the tent called the Holy of Holies. And then not only that, it was on the lid of a piece of furniture in that tent. And it was underneath two cherubim that were touching each other by the wing. It's a very specific location. When you find that location, you met with God.
Amen.
So in the New Testament, if someone wanted help in the Gospels, what was the greatest help you could render to them? Where's the location if I wanted to find God in the Gospels? Oh, come see a man.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
There's a location. So you have to help people to the location. So now in the church age, where do we help them? To find God.
Spirit.
Help them to their spirit.
Amen.
Help them to draw this line. Okay? This is a very important point. Okay, so those that were assigned point A, 1, and 2, could you read those to me? Spirit is in our soul. Right. Okay. So when I first I read these point one and two, I kind of thought they were kind of the same. I had a hard time differentiating. Did anybody have a hard time with those 2 points? Yeah. And then it says we need to see the position and the situation of the Spirit, which to me was about kind of the same too. But actually, when I got into it, I realized those are actually two very different things. What we just talked about is position. Where is the Spirit located? It's in the soul. And if you don't have the Spirit, you can very easily confuse it. Many people think it's a feeling. I appreciate it in our morning revival, the brothers have been helping us. You may not have that feeling. It's in your spirit. It's not in the mind. It's not being convinced. Neither is it in some intention that you have. It is in the spirit. There's location. So position. But condition is different. Okay? The condition of the spirit is not the same as when we say the spirit is in the soul. It's not the same as we are in this room. When we're in this room, I can very easily, or we can all easily stand up and walk out and in as we please. But with the Spirit, it's not that way. The Spirit is, it wants to flow out. It wants to get out, but it is enclosed. It's encased. It's hidden. The Spirit wants to flow out, but it can't. So, we realize whenever, a lot of us have this kind of experience. You come to somebody, and you have something of your soul, and not your spirit is the first thing that hits people. When you meet somebody, is it? The first thing that somebody meets is, you're really intelligent. You're really capable. You're very decisive. You get stuff done. You're very sensitive. These are the first things that a lot of people, it's our soul that people, because our spirit is encased there. They don't see the spirit. It can't get out. So oftentimes what they meet, the first thing, our soul. Sometimes, you know, maybe some of us are self-conscious. We go out in the gospel, you know. I got fired up listening to Falon talking about the gospel. I wanted to go out and preach the gospel, right? And what happens is I get fired up. I preach the gospel, and I get all self-conscious. The Spirit is there. Maybe something of the Lord is there, but it's encased. The handshake is a little dead fish. It's not quite. A little awkward, right? So this is why actually in the New Testament, you can see actually different kinds of spirit. It's not that the spirit has different kinds, but when it passes through the soul, it can pick up a certain color, a certain flavor, which is the spirit encased in your soul. Which is why in Luke 9, the Lord had to rebuke James and John. You do not know what kind of spirit you are. Was there something of the Lord there? I don't know, perhaps. But there was definitely a lot of soul They were the sons of thunder. That was their disposition. We want to send down fire on these people. What hit us first? Definitely not their spirit. What hit us was their soul. Spirit was very, very, very encased and hidden in the soul. Okay? But what kind of people do we want to be? We want to be people where the spirit can freely flow out. So when people meet us, we could be like Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. When people saw Daniel, they said, that guy has an excellent spirit. Amen. That's the first thing they meet. Wow. This was unbelievers, actually, when they met Daniel. Wow. This guy has an excellent spirit. But in our experience, oftentimes, we have this problem. We know our spirit. We know we should walk in spirit. We should be able to know our situation and condition in spirit. We should be able to touch people in spirit. We should be able to fellowship in spirit. We should be able to rule our entire being in our spirit. But it doesn't work all the time. We lose our temper. The spirit comes out, but it comes out with a lot of other junk. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and you know you're supposed to pray? The spirit is moving and it just hits the soul, the wall. You can feel it hitting the wall of your soul. It just can't. Prophesying meeting, we all exercise to prophesy, hallelujah. You know you're supposed to prophesy, but then it just can't quite get out. Okay. I appreciate the picture of Hebrews 4:12, which is marrow encased in a bone. God likes marrow, but there's the bone of our emotion, our mind, and our will. There's the bone of our disposition, our natural man. There's the bone of the way we do stuff. Our preferences, our soul. I mean, this is the Northeast, okay? We have very, very developed souls in the Northeast. This is very, very elite, soul-developing institutions in this area. So, it's a very thick bone. Does anybody actually eat marrow? Okay, all right. There's some cultures, in fact, that like to eat marrow. And you can kind of tell by the way they cut their chicken, cut their meat. Like Americans, they just tend to not eat that much marrow, so they'll use a boning knife, which is like a thin, flimsy knife. It's sharp, but it can't pierce the bone. It's meant to cut the meat off from the bone. Some other cultures, like the one I grew up in, like my mom, when she cuts chicken, she uses a cleaver. Actually, she uses a cleaver for just about everything. But... you know, I'd be at home, I'd be sitting at my desk, I'd be doing my homework, and I knew we were eating meat because there would be a thumping noise. Just, you know, so I'd go downstairs, and you use a cleaver because it's sharp, but it's heavy. So that can pierce through the meat and into the bone and break it. If you know how thick that thing is, and you know that I can't just like twist it off or something like that. I can't open something. I can't use my hands. I can't use some sort of technique. I need to break this thing. So I go get a cleaver to just bone marrow. Yes. Sorry. Little bit of my soul coming out. Okay, but we realize, actually, when we realize the condition, not just the position, but the condition of our soul, we realize the tool that we need to use. It is not our intellect. It's not our good ideas. It's not that you can't have yourself and still have your spirit released. You need something that can pierce. You need something that can break it open. You need breaking, okay? So not only with this, with bones and marrow in this illustration in Hebrews 4, you have other illustrations like John 12:24, where you have a grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies. For life to be released, that the shell, the husk of that seed needs to be broken for it to bear much fruit. Another example is in John 12, where you have Mary. She has an alabaster flask holding pure nard, pure ointment. Pure means it's undefiled. It's not stuck to your soul. It's really spiritual. But it's inside this alabaster flask. And this alabaster flask was often sealed shut. So if you knew that, you realize in order to get the ointment, I need to what? Break it open. It needs to be broken. So this brings us to this realization. We need breaking. Our soul needs breaking. This is not something we like to hear very often, but there's something deep within our being that registers, we need this. There's a spirit that's trying to get out. And what frustrates, what encases it is our soul. So if you read the ministry of Watchman Nee, you realize actually the Lord breaks us in two different kinds of ways. One way is a cumulative kind of way, a gradual kind of way. Another way is kind of a sudden kind of breaking. We like to focus a little bit more on the cumulative because more of our life will be this cumulative breaking. It'll be a couple times where the Lord comes in and does a decisive, fundamental breaking. And we need that too. But a lot of us, it's in our morning times. The Lord will come. And the Lord may point to, what about that thought? You keep thinking about that. I want that. He comes and he kind of, it's not a huge blow. Maybe it's a little knock. And maybe you might say, no, I want to think about that. I like that thought. I'm going to keep that thought for now. The Lord says, okay, that's fine. I'll come back later. And he does. Knocks on it again. And he keeps knocking. I'm actually quite burdened by what Brother Ricky spoke to us earlier this morning. A lot of us have a lot of unfinished business with the Lord. Some of the messages that we heard this week, the Lord was trying to break through in something. Breaking. Would we respond? Would we go to the Lord? Some of us need to take a walk during this break. Before you leave, spend time. Maybe some of us need to get on our knees to be before the Lord. And particularly, some of us need to really consecrate our heart. What is a consecration? It is simply just to allow the Lord to work on you. Allow the Lord to break into that part, that compartment. The Lord doesn't violate our will. So we need to give him the opportunity. Be available to him. Give him permission. Okay? And then the Lord often uses a lot of other means by which to break us. So we have our morning times, our personal times with the Lord, and the Lord will use a lot of different situations, outward situations, actually to, maybe it's people, a roommate, saints, ones you're coordinating with. We have this verse in Romans 8, 28 and 29, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose, because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Right? 28 says, we know that all things work together for good. What is the all things? It's not getting a car. We know that, right? Ferrari's not going to show up in your lawn, okay? It's all things is every situation. It's all things. That's what it means. Every situation, The good situations, the bad situations, actually we realize, what is the indispensable requirement? Love God. Amen. It works together for good for those who love him. The Lord will come to break, and our response, Lord, I love you. We need to tell the Lord we love him in all things. And this, okay, just to kind of encourage you a little bit. Yes, okay, I can't tell you it's not a painful process. It hurts a little bit. It's breaking. Okay? But it's worth it. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. When the breaking comes, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yes, it happens, okay? The decay, the breaking happens. Yes, there is that aspect. But it says, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And it says, for our momentary lightness of affliction, it's breaking, yes. But Paul calls it momentary. It's light. It works out for us more and more surpassingly. Eternal weight of glory. Amen. Don't think the cost is expensive. It is your whole being. It requires your whole soul. Yes. Yes. But Paul was able to say, I count all things loss on account of the excellency of not the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He counted it as dung, as refuse. He paid the price. It was a high price. And then when he paid it, he said, what price? It's worthless. It's dung. Compared to what I have. The hymn comes to mind. Arise, the holy bargain strike, the fragment for the whole. Amen. Momentary lightness of affliction. Saints, we need the breaking. Okay, I'll pass it off to Curtis here.
Let's stand up and speak Zechariah 12:1. In Genesis 2:7, ready, go. Amen.
A living soul.
Amen. All right, you can sit. I am so impressed this week concerning our spirit. Amen. And I think the point that I've taken away is that our spirit and our heart are for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Amen. This morning, we're not talking about the dividing of our soul from our spirit, or the breaking of our outer man for the renewing, just for our sake. But there's a goal. Amen. This is for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Amen. Please keep this in mind. Maybe this isn't being spoken in every sentence, but there's a goal. Amen. There's a goal in all this. Lord, this is for you. I want to learn to know my spirit. Amen. I want to learn the flavor of my spirit. Amen. I want to learn how good my spirit tastes. Right? I want to keep coming back to that. Why? Lord, so you can fulfill your purpose. Amen. So you can keep dispensing. Amen. Lord, keep emptying me out every morning. Amen. Lord, I want to learn to be poor in spirit. Amen. Make me a blessed. Right? Blessed are those. Amen. Blessed are the ones that are poor in spirit. Amen. Lord, empty me out right now. Amen. Lord, we've received so much this week. Amen. Right now, though, I want more. Amen. May nothing hinder you. Lord, fill me up. Amen. For your sake. Amen. So this morning, I want to continue along this line. And I'd like to spend some time talking about the Word. The Word. Praise the Lord for the Word. Amen. Let's say, praise the Lord for the Word.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love your Word.
Lord, I love that you are the Word.
This Roman numeral, point three, the living and operative Word of God exposes and discerns the thoughts of our mind, the intentions of our will, and the desires of our emotion. and add this at the end, from those of Christ in our spirit. Put that at the end of the Roman numeral. Because it's being exposed and discerned. And I'd like to paint a contrast. From those of Christ in our spirit. Because just as Jonah talked about, there's a location, there's a position where Christ is today. Where there's a person, right? In the Old Testament, we want to get to the Holy of Holies. Right, I want to get into His presence. In the Gospel, oh, come see a man, Jeremy. Right, Jesus. Amen. Today, when I meet Daniel on the campus, do you know your spirit? Because that's where Jesus is at. Amen. Those are the thoughts I want. Those are the feelings I want. That's the will, the intention that I want to be filled with. And what helps facilitate this is the living and operative Word of God. Amen. I think each and every one of us has a Bible, regardless of translation, electronic or paper. That's the constant Word of God. That's the Logos. Praise the Lord, we have the Word. This is a wonderful gift from God. But it may not always be the living and operative Word of God. And something I was impressed with, I just want to read you a sentence and write this down, this first sentence down. The function of the Word of God is the operation of God. The function of the Word of God is the operation of God. Because the Word of God is the breath of God, it is one with God. It's not possible to separate the breath of a living person from the person himself. So we should not separate the Word of God from God himself. Let's all declare John 1:1. Ready, go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is a person. I've been so refreshed by this. The Word is a person. Right? When I come to the Word, I'm not coming to read another textbook. I've done enough of those in my life. I don't need another one. I need a person. I need a living person. I need an active person. Operating, He's active. He's moving. He's functioning. Right? Okay. This Word exposes. This Word discerns. And even this Word divides. 1 Timothy 3:15. It speaks of the church of the living God. Amen. Is this Word living? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Is this Word living?
Amen.
Is our God living?
Amen.
1 John 1:5. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all.
Amen.
Is our God light?
Amen.
Is the Word full of light?
Amen.
Ephesians 6:17 to 18. Receive the sword of the Spirit. Which Spirit is the Word of God?
Amen.
Is the Word of God a sword to us?
Amen.
The Spirit, the instant Word, the Rhema Word, the living Word. Is this a sword dividing our soul from our spirit?
Amen.
Does the Word do this?
Amen.
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 You see, the Word is living. God is living. The Word is full of light. God is light.
Amen.
God divides as the Spirit, our spirit from our soul. Does the Word do that? Amen.
Amen.
We just see that there, when God operates, He's operating in us as the Word.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Word.
Amen.
This is refreshing.
Amen.
And so, I appreciate even the definition of this word, exposes. Exposes. Make known. Bring to light. Disclose. Every time we come to the Word, is there light? I hope so. Lord, may your light, may your Word be full of light every time I come.
Amen.
Right? But it doesn't just expose us. You know, where we're like, oh, I'm condemned. But it also discerns, which is to recognize, identify as separate, to understand the difference. There's light, and then it's, oh, Curtis, yeah, that's your soul, and that's your spirit. You're in your soul right now. You're in your mind, Curtis. Those aren't my thoughts. Here's your spirit. So it exposes, discerns, and also divides to cause to be separate, apart from one another. Here we see, not only is it laid before me when I come to the Lord in the morning, but also separates the two, makes the choice easy. Curtis, come to your spirit, brother. Come, touch me, receive me, get filled.
Amen.
And I just appreciate this is just God operating. And he's operating through his word. And how this happens is by us learning to touch him as the word.
Amen.
We need to learn to touch a person. These verses have been coming back to me. John 5:39-40. The Lord's speaking to the Pharisees, the religious ones. He says, "You search the scriptures that in them you may have eternal life or find eternal life. Yet you do not come to me. Yet you do not come to me. Curtis, come to me in the morning."
Right.
Too many times I wake up, I have a problem, and I go looking for the solution. Lord, you need to be this to me. But instead, the Lord is, Curtis, just come to me. Stop looking for eternal life. Stop looking for rest, Curtis. But just come to me. You don't think I'm going to meet your need? Just come to me. And just be simple. We just say, Lord, I appreciate it. If I love the Lord, I need to love his word. And it makes that much easier because when I come to the word, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
Lord, I love your word.
Amen.
Lord, I want to meet you in the word right now.
Amen.
Lord, fill me up.
Amen.
You know what I need.
Amen.
Lord, I'm just here ready to receive.
Amen.
Lord, I love you.
Amen.
Lord, I treasure your words.
Amen.
I live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth.
Amen.
Lord, enliven me. Lord, revive me.
Amen.
And I appreciate it. We can just, even we were encouraged this week, find a phrase that we enjoy. Right? I was just even considering the first verse I asked you all to speak, Zechariah 12:1. The burden of the word. And I just got held up there. The burden. The word is full of feeling. I'm glad it didn't just say the word of Jehovah, but it said the burden. There's an intention. There's a person behind those words. Can we separate a person from the words?
No.
The burden of the word of Jehovah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
These words are living.
Amen.
These words are a person to us.
Amen.
Right? Oh, thank you, Lord. And the nature, I'd like to go on with this. It speaks of it in the first point in A. It says the nature of God's word is living. Living. The nature of something is the constitution. This word, its nature, its constitution is just something of life, right? And even I looked up the definition of living, and it says living. I don't like when a definition uses its own word, but it says living, full of vigor, full of life. And then I like this, involving living persons. Or you could say involving a person full of life. Lord, your words are involving a person full of life. Your words are just Christ. Lord, I love your words. Because I love Christ.
Amen.
And it's operative. Oh, I love this. Exerting force or influence. Producing an appropriate effect. Lord, when I come to your word, it just causes me to love you more.
Right.
Wow, what a gift.
Yeah.
Right? Not only does it make us living, but oh, it softens my heart. It's the tenderizer of my heart. And just softens it towards the Lord that, Lord, how about you make a little more home today? How about you make more home in my heart? Man, those are some words. Every time I speak, I don't think that happens to other people. But when I come to the Lord's word, oh, my heart just gets tenderized. Oh, I just get enlivened. It's operating. It's exerting an influence, a force. And what is it doing? Just in a simple way, there's a breaking that's happening. I don't even realize it. I'm just touching the Lord. I'm falling in love with this person. And there's something spontaneous happening, right? I'm getting exposed. Yeah, Lord, the way I spoke to my roommate. Lord Jesus, right? Lord, I need to choose you. Amen. I can get washed and I can get filled and I can go on. There's no other words like this. And even in point B, Just this phrase. How about we just read B together? All the saints need to understand why Paul mentions the word of God for the dividing of our spirit from our soul. Every time God speaks to us, his word always exposes and discerns our inner situation. I just think about, there's been a lot of examples, but I think of Peter. Praise the Lord for Peter in the Bible. I'm so happy that we had our brother, because he's such an example to us. Because it's like, I am just a Peter. And I was thinking, you know, in Matthew 16, it relates to denying yourself. You need to deny yourself if you want to come after me. But I was enjoying this verse. Get behind me, Satan. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And Peter, he had just seen who the Lord was. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was happy. And then the Lord revealed that he has to go to the cross and die. And Peter's like, no, no. And he begins to rebuke the Lord. But he loves the Lord. You know, it wasn't Peter like, no. But he was enjoying the Lord. He loved his presence. He didn't want him to leave. But the Lord is speaking every time God speaks. Peter's good intention. Come up here, Daniel. You know, the Lord, Daniel just reveals to me, you know, he has to go die and he's going to be persecuted. And I've just had a great week with Daniel. Haven't y'all enjoyed seeing Daniel enjoy the Lord as he plays the guitar? Amen. I just feel like he's been flowing rivers of living water into me, amen, right? I don't want this brother to leave. But now he's telling me all these things are going to happen. By no means. I don't want to lose his presence. But he comes and tells me, no. You're setting your mind on the things of man. Wow. Here, you can sit down. You're setting your mind on the things of man, not on the things of God. Our good intention, my good intention, not to be with my brother. But he's like, no, I got to go back to school. I got to go speak to my friends, right? I got to go tell the world of this. But I just want to keep him to myself. But the Lord's word comes in, exposes, divides. What if the Lord didn't respond and he just went on his way? We would have never known if Peter's intention was right or wrong. But what a mercy to us. Amen. That we could see, oh, even the good intention just gets in the way, right? Every time. I just appreciate the Lord is always speaking. He's ready to speak. But am I ready to listen? Are my ears open? Revelation speaks of he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Lord, do I have an ear? I want your speaking. I want the living. I want the operative word. I want you as the word. So I'd like to go on to this point, and point C. This speaks concerning the children of Israel, and this is where Hebrews 4:12 really hits, and I just appreciate the example of the children of Israel. So how about we read point C together? Hebrews 4:12 is related to God speaking to the children of Israel, in which he charged them to go on directly into the good land. What God spoke to them exposed their inner situation and made their inner situation clear to them. So Hebrews 4:12, Hebrews is a book written to Jews that have now received the Lord and have become believers, and they're struggling with, do I try and keep the law, the Sabbath, you know, everything that Judaism has taught me that I've grown up in, that I've been constituted with? They're struggling. Do I keep this? How do I go on just pursuing the Lord? Then, you know, all these different things. And Paul speaks this word to them, and it's an encouraging word. You know, the living, you know, for the word of God is living and operative and dividing, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit. He's, brothers, you're in your minds. Brothers, leave that struggle behind. You don't have to worry about the law anymore. I appreciated Hiram yesterday. He hit this again and again. Spontaneously, when we're in our spirit, spontaneously, the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled. Spontaneously. I love that that doesn't take any effort. Spontaneously. I put gas in my car. I turn it on and I step on the pedal. Spontaneously, I go. I'm glad I'm not part of the Flintstones where I have to pedal, you know? I skateboard to campus every day, a lot of times, and I got to pedal. But sometimes when it's raining, I'm like, man, I don't have to walk. So I get in my car and I drive, right? Because it's spontaneous, it's easy, it doesn't take effort, right? And so this is what Paul is speaking to them. Forget about it. And this is related to, as we see, the story of even the children of Israel trying to go into the good land. This is God's promised land. This is what his heart is after. This is the fulfillment of his purpose. Right. lies in the good land. It's the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their father's been promised, and they're at the cusp of it. They're at the river. And he's like, all you got to do is go in. So what does he do? He sends 12 spies. And these aren't just any guys. There's 2 million children of Israel, and he picks 12. He has Moses pick 12 and sends them in. These got to be some good dudes. And they go in. They go in for 40 days, and they're to look and see if the land is good or bad, if it's fat or if it's lean, if the enemy, the people there, live in camps or fortifications. And so they come back, and they've been there for 40 days, and they say, we saw a land flowing with milk and honey. And they're like, and look, there's fruit. And they had taken a cluster of grapes that had to be carried by 2 men. It says a single cluster. A single cluster had to be carried by 2 men. They're like, look, this is the fruit. We're not even just telling you about it, but look it. It's how rich the land is. But then they say, oh, but we saw the sons of Anak, who are the Nephilim. And these are like the fallen angels that have come, and they were with man, and they're giants, like Goliath. It's talked about that maybe he was a descendant of a Nephilim. He was huge, you know, 7, 8, 9 feet tall, right? You're like, whoa. And so 10 of the 12 spies say this, but Joshua and Caleb, everyone's going, whoa, 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 whoa. And I appreciate this. It says, the word says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. During those 40 days, I appreciate what Brother Russell said the other day. You know, remember, a risky day is not having a morning time, right? The Lord Jesus, for 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the wilderness. And then Satan came in to tempt him. But for those 40 days and 40 nights, you know what he was doing? He was eating the word. He was fasting and praying. He was enjoying the word. You know what I appreciate? Joshua and Caleb, yeah, they didn't have a Bible to read from, but they had God speaking that they heard. And I believe every morning they were chewing on that. There was the dividing of the soul from the spirit. So everything that they looked at wasn't just with their soulish eyes, but they saw what had been promised to them, what had been promised to their fathers for generations. They were enjoying the word, operating. They were enjoying the living. Oh, they were just chewing on it. Oh, this is good. Oh, look at those grapes. Oh, look at that milk. Look at that honey, right? They just see what's been promised. You know what they were tasting? Their spirit. They were enjoying their spirit, right? And so when they come back, that's why it was easy for Caleb to be like, no. Let us go up at once. Let's take the land, what's been promised to us. But the response of everybody, actually they said, let's stone them. And then they said, and then they began to complain. They're at the edge of the good land. And they said, let's go back. And they even said, why did we even come out of Egypt? Why don't you just let us die there? Why didn't you just let us die in the wilderness? They said, our children, our wives, they're just going to be taken when we go into the land. They're considering, these are good intentions, they're considering their families. They don't want to be taken captive. They're in their mind. But Joshua and Caleb, whoo, praise the Lord. Amen. Joshua and Caleb, amen. They had a different spirit. Amen, amen for a different spirit. Amen. Let's say amen for a different spirit.
Amen for a different spirit.
Again, amen for a different spirit.
Amen for a different spirit.
Oh, that's good. It says, it's a land exceedingly good. And you know what? Eventually the Lord said, all these ones, they won't enter into the land. He said, only Joshua and Caleb, because they have fully followed me. And I believe the reason is because of the word. The word the whole time, those 40 days, 2 million people. And it really came down to those 40 days of those spies in the land. And those two brothers, you know, Joshua and Caleb, they're speaking, what you could say was dominated by these other 10 who were not enjoying the word. So they saw something completely different. So you know what happened? 40 years. They had to wait for a whole generation to die off just so that the Lord could bring the children of Israel in. This week earlier we saw, are the fields white on our campuses?
Yeah.
Right? Is it 4 months until the harvest?
No.
Are the fields
yes.
Are our eyes lifted up?
Amen.
I believe this week each of us has experienced the dividing of our soul from our spirit.
Right.
Has there been a longing in you to want to speak something to your friends, to speak to your classmates, to have a heart for man? Speaking to the ones in my group, I know you have. And that's been an encouragement to me. But then I know something comes, oh, but, you know, my situation's different. I went through this. You know, I was in college. I went to college trainings, and I went back far. And I remember conversations where it was, well, I need somebody that's like me, and then we can go out and take care of my friends. And this was a good thought, that, you know, Lord, I want to take care of you, but I need this first. Or, oh, I need, and, but I've just been impressed this week that, no, the fields are white.
Amen.
Lord, make me one of a different spirit.
Amen.
Make me a Joshua and a Caleb,
yeah.
Right? Enjoying your word every day.
Amen.
Just spontaneously this happens. And what? I see fields that are white.
Amen.
My eyes are lifted up.
Amen.
Like Peter, his eyes, they were set on the things of man. But when we lift up our eyes are on the things of God.
Amen.
We see the white fields. The easy way, I feel like the safeguard, man, I just appreciate, Lord, your word. Your word is my safeguard. Your word is what I get to take home. All the speaking, all the outlines, we get to enjoy these. These can still be the living and operating word of God. We don't leave our stuff here. We don't leave our notes here. We don't leave our Bibles here. We bring our enjoyment back. We pray these things back to the Lord, right? As this happens, what we're appreciating, Lord, when these feelings rise up, no. Lord, I remember what you spoke. The fields are white. Lord, direct me. Direct me to these white fields. Direct me to the good land, right? This is what you need. This is what you desire. This is what you promised me. Lord, you promised me fruit. You promised me milk. You promised me honey. You promised me riches, right? Keep me in your word. This is how I can enjoy. This is how I can experience those things. And I appreciate that as this happens over time, how about we read D&E together? Every time we read the Bible in a living way, the word always either requires or demands something of us.
This requiring word always exposes and discerns our inner situation so that we know whether we are in the soul or in the spirit.
Amen. And let's flip over and read the last Roman numeral in the. After.
Breaking of our soul, denial of our mind, emotion, and will. Whatever is left is the spirit.
Amen. So we can stop there. I just appreciate it. We come to the word. Let the word operate. We don't have to try and run it. We're not turning the gears. We just come, we enjoy the word.
Amen.
Lord, I love you. I love your word. Lord, today, a little more discerning, a little more dividing, right? I want to enjoy you as the good land. I want to enjoy the person in my spirit. As this happens, the oldness, our soul, it's just divided spontaneously. And all that's left is the spirit. And we get to, what do we do in a simple way? We're fulfilling God's purpose. I just appreciate, wow, just by coming to your word in the morning, Lord, in a way of being poor in spirit, you're getting what you desire, right? You're getting what your heart is after. And I want to just end with this. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. It says, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and their word of their testimony, and they love not their soul lives unto death. I appreciate that this word, it deals with the enemy. And how do we enjoy it? Lord, I take your blood in the morning. I come to your word and I enjoy it. I overcome by the word, by the blood, and what? This allows me, enables me to love not my soul life.
Amen.
It just gets divided. It gets stripped away. And what does this produce me as? One that overcomes. One that overcomes myself. One that overcomes my personal struggles. And I get to enjoy the white fields. I get to enjoy the riches that are in my spirit. Lord, thank you for your word.
Amen.
All right. So the message isn't over. You all spoke this morning. So I'm going to call on Tommy and Kayla from my group to take the lead, and we'll stand up and we'll speak.
Amen.
Just prophesy. There's something in you, right? We're going to take the last 10 minutes, and we're going to speak what's been bubbling in us, right? If it's something you enjoyed from your sharing, from the speaking this morning, we just speak it, right? Be exercised, all right?
Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for Joshua and Caleb.
Amen.
So I actually have a brother named Joshua, and my name is Caleb.
Amen.
And, well, this I just enjoyed of they had such a different spirit.
Amen.
And it was, you know, there's a lot of times in my experience where I'm trying to think, am I in my soul? Am I in my spirit? But it's because I'm not getting into the Word. And the Word of God, it's not just the Word. It's living and operative.
Amen.
And it just exposes and discerns the thoughts of the mind and the intentions of our will and the desires of our emotion.
Amen.
So we need to get into this Word.
Amen.
If you don't get into this Word, then you can't tell what's your soul and what's your spirit. And most of the time, it's your soul, especially in my experience. There's a lot of thinking in your mind. There's a lot of feeling you're trying to rely on. And there's, you know, it's just like how the children of Israel were. They were thinking, you know, these guys are giants. How are we going to take them? They're just going to kill us. Why didn't we just die out in the wilderness? And so I just realized, but praise the Lord, there was two other spies. They had such a spirit.
Amen.
And we need this different spirit.
Amen.
And we need the breaking. Oh, yeah. Lord, the breaking. And Lord, the breaking just sounds horrible. But sometimes you just need to break the bone to get the riches.
Amen.
To get the riches of the marrow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To preach the gospel today, we have to help the unbelievers to touch their spirit.
Amen.
That requires an exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
I really appreciated this point that our spirit is enclosed by our soul.
Amen.
Whenever I talk to people, the first thing they notice is, this guy's really quiet. But praise the Lord, we have to break through.
Amen.
We have to break our... There's a person living in our spirit.
Amen.
And we have to break through.
Amen.
And when we break through, this person, our spirit rises up, it stands up, and this person flows out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I really enjoyed Jonah's point about how, like, our spirit really wants to break through our soul. But, like, it's just, like, every time, like, you go gospel preaching, it's just, ugh, that just holds you back. But we need to break through, especially at the training. Because right now, the brothers and sisters, everything you say, they can amen. But when we go out to the world, it's like people might not amen what we say. It's so easy to speak right now. So just speak out. Because it's practice. Because I think, like that cleaver example, you know, like if you're a beginner, you're not an expert chef, right? It might take a couple of hits to break the marrow, but the more tries, right? The slowly your bone, the bone, the soul will break down.
Amen.
So we have 10 minutes and then all of you have spoken. So what if we have at least 5 brothers here and 5 sisters?
Amen.
Amen.
How many each?
Especially if you haven't spoken.
Okay. How about the sisters? Be bold.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's go, Matt.
Amen. The living and operative Word of God.
Amen.
It's just a person in our spirit.
Amen.
I just appreciate the more we touch our spirit, we touch this person.
Amen.
And then we actually just fulfill God's plan.
Amen.
If we touch him in the morning, we'll flow out in the afternoon.
Amen.
I just appreciate the small matter that we really need to get into this. We need to see this outline. And we need to pray these verses back to the Lord.
Amen.
And I just don't want to do this in like just this week, but I want this to be my practice.
Amen.
I want this day to day be a walk with the Lord.
Amen.
I want to just come to him in the morning.
Amen.
And just be like, Lord, just continue to live and operate in me.
Amen.
Amen. I enjoy that this is a momentary lightness of affliction.
Amen.
It's so momentary. During the speaking time, a sister shared, he who... gives up its soul life will gain. Find it. I'm sorry. And I've like always heard that, and I don't know. Suddenly, it just had a revelation where, you know, it's our soul life is not worth anything. There is no point. It's basically something that's dead already. So, but if we are willing to give it up and give it to Him, the Spirit will be able to flow through and give it life. It's so momentary, and the end result is so much better. We just need to be willing. I feel like this, you know, with all the messages, I feel like I have a cleaver hanging over my head. Like, I just need to let Him, like, bring it down. Break it, Lord. Lord Jesus, just spread life into my soul.
Amen. I enjoyed the verse, Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter,
Amen.
Get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
You are a stumbling block to me,
Amen.
For you are not setting your mind on the things of God,
Amen.
But on the things of man.
Amen.
So I was really touched that we need to set our mind on the things of God,
Amen.
Not the things which are the things of man. So oftentimes it's so easy to set our mind on the things of man, the things on this earth. But we really need to be those to set our mind on the things of God.
Amen.
I appreciate the key words in Matthew 16:24, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Right.
And in the footnote 4, it says, to us, to bear the cross is to remain under the killing death of Christ,
Amen.
For the terminating of ourself, our natural life, and our old man. In doing so, we deny ourselves that we may follow the Lord.
Amen.
So really, just to be under the death of Christ, just to be in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because by the Spirit, the death of Christ is applied to us.
Amen.
The word of God is living and operative.
Amen.
And we need to take advantage of this word.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, sometimes we're just so in our mind, and we want to be in our spirit, but we're just thinking and thinking in our soul. An experience I didn't get to share in the prophesying was that as I was preparing, I just kept thinking, like, where should I put the Hebrews 4:12? Should I even put the verse in? I just kept thinking over and over and over. And then, oh, Lord, the Lord just touched me. And when I touched the word, I just started to sing. For the word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, both the joints and the marrow, able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. Oh, Lord, and this word can expose us, and this through this exposing in the light, we can just hear God speaking.
Amen.
It's so easy and so simple.
Amen.
God speaking is the word.
Amen.
All we need is the living word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord that the word is God himself.
Amen.
I really enjoy that because before when I read the word, a lot of times I get into my mind and I think about, Lord, I want to touch you as the spirit in the word, but it's so hard. But I really, really appreciate the prayer. It says that, my brother said that, today, Lord, break through a little bit more.
Amen.
Break through just a little bit more when I read the word.
Amen.
I really enjoy the word accumulation. In the aspect of accumulation, it's little by little and day by day.
Amen.
We just need to come to Him every day.
Amen.
Trust that the word is operative and it's active.
Amen.
Praise the Lord that the word is a living person.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I enjoy the brothers speaking. Stop looking for peace. Just come. And to tie that into something our brother said earlier during the morning time, according to hymn 789, I believe, the pain and sorrow we bear is needless. Why don't we just come to Him? Why don't we just give the Lord these things? I believe that is Brother Ricky Acosta's sharing. So I just appreciate how easy the Lord has made it on us. You know, we don't have to go all the way to an altar and make the sacrifice and whatnot to, you know, get the Spirit, to get His word, to get Him. He's made it so easy that we just say, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And by saying Jesus is Lord, we're already in our spirit.
Amen.
We just broke through the soul just by declaring Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen, that we can turn to Christ at any time. Let the Lord's will be our will. Earlier in our group, a sister shared how sometimes even like the smallest things that we do, such as maybe like even asking the Lord what kind of ice cream we want to eat, we can turn to the Lord and through everything just ask Him so that His will can be our will. And it doesn't matter how small or big the situation is, because the more you do in a small situation, that way when you really think that you've gotten yourself in a big trouble, you can always turn to the Lord. Amen, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. I want to turn my spirit more to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just need to be broken by the Lord.
Amen.
But in order to do this, we need to come to the Word in a living way.
Amen.
So many times in my morning time, I come to the Lord with my mind already full of thoughts, even good intentions. I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, do this in me today. Or Lord, give me something of you today. I want this part of you. Oh Lord, I have this coming up. Oh Lord, I need this part of you. But when we come to the Word in a living way, we just see God himself.
Amen.
And God himself is what we truly need in order for our soul to be broken.
Amen.
When we're full of God himself, he just takes that cleaver and he whacks the bone. And we can actually get into the marrow.
Amen.
Oh, we touch the Lord in our spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the living Word.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord for our spirits.
Amen.
I really enjoyed that we need to draw the line between our soul and our spirit, and how even unbelievers know the difference between the body and the soul, but a lot of believers don't know the difference between the soul and the spirit. And so that really burdened me to, I guess, tell others about our spirits, because God is in the Holy of Holies, which is in the holiest place, which is in the tabernacle. So to bring others to God, we have to bring them to the Holy of Holies, which is their spirits. Oh, Lord, thank you for our spirits. And once we know about our spirit, we can ask the Lord to continue to break our souls day by day.
The wilderness is not a great place. There's nothing there, and you just wander around it. That's just our soul. That's just our soul. But we've seen a little bit of the good land. We've had the 12 spies, and we've seen the grapes that need two men to carry them. But what's keeping us from it? We need the Word.
Amen.
We need the direct personal speaking from the Lord. I have treasured your word more than my daily bread. I have treasured your word more than my daily bread. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Out through the mouth of God, your word enlivens, your word revives, your words are spirit, your words are life.
Amen.
Oh Lord, I can really feel the Spirit punching my soul right now. I just really enjoyed that we need the breaking.
Amen.
If we want the ointment, we have to break the flask.
Amen.
If we want life, we have to break the seed.
Amen.
And if we want our spirit, we have to break our soul.
Amen.
Oh, we don't want to be the next, we don't want the Lord to have to wait for the next generation.
Amen.
We need to come before the Lord and just pray, Lord, I give you permission to break my soul.
Amen.
And let the Spirit flow out.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, break my soul.
Amen.
The Lord has given me a burden for the gospel for a very long time, but I'm not good at doing it because I think too much. I always, you know, wonder, oh, what should I say? You know, how do I bring this up, you know? And by the time I finally kind of formulate maybe half a plan, it's too late. The opportunity has already passed. And I realize that this is because of my living. I don't spend enough time before the Lord. I realize that I have a very sinusoidal relationship with the Lord. It goes up during the conferences and the trainings, and then, you know, after a while, it just plummets to a very low. And then, you know, the next one, it goes up and down. But this is not the proper Christian living. This is not normal. It's not normal for us to just go to conferences and trainings and then be lifted up, and then when we go back to our daily living, to just, you know, sink back into the world. So, you know, I just pray that, oh, I would really take time to behold the Lord and spend time in his presence. Oh, and then spend time in his word so that he could break my soul.
Amen.
Amen. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is living and it's operative.
Amen.
You know, during the summer, we think of, you know, a summer reading list, what we should read or something like that. But these are just things for our soul. But we should know that no other book compares to the Bible. Because this is, when we come to the Bible, we actually come to a person.
Lord, break our soul. Oh, it's so sweet that that when we break our soul, we give the Lord the opportunity to fill us.
Amen.
Lord, we break our heart to give thee room.
Amen. I love the marrow. I don't want my soul to remain whole, that the Spirit can't break through the wall of my soul. I appreciated this point that when people touch us, the first thing they touch is usually our strong soul. Oh, Lord, but we want a different spirit. Lord, we give ourselves that you would break through our soul.
Amen. Okay, some announcements before lunch.